Welcome, everybody. We're back. It's me, DP, and my good Brody, Bob. We're back here with the first inaugural episode of Midlife and Beyond. We're doing a little bit of a brand change because we just felt it was a little bit more applicable to what we chose to do as far as the podcast and the audio portion of what we're doing. We'll still be doing content on the YouTube channel following live sporting events, particularly the Chargers as they make their way to the playoffs under the tutelage of first-year head coach Jim Harbaugh. That was a correction on my fault. But today, we have a long list of things that we'd like to talk to you guys about. We have a lot of things to wrap up that has happened kind of over the past week with a couple of highlights. And with those topics, Bob, I'll shoot it to you.
So I think we should start off with the latest episode of From. What's going on with Fatima, man? It's her baby. She's locked in a fucking dungeon. Elgin's trying to kill her. Is he not trying to kill her? Is he drinking her blood? What is going on? Can you please break this down?
Well, Fatima's drinking Elgin's blood, but let's bring it back a little bit. So From is fourth season. MGM Plus?
Third season.
It's a mystery, kind of in the vein of Lost. But yeah, the latest episode, episode 9 of the season, aired this past Saturday, and there's a lot of development. Obviously, as we've gone through this season, we've seen the city, the town, the forest, the experiment, wherever they are, kind of change. We've seen
it's aging, right? It's aging.
It's also aging, and it's getting darker and colder. So we saw it snow. We saw the temperature change. The crops fail. Like, things are changing. And I think that the wherever they are, let's call it the enigma or whatever, is responding to their curiosity. The more they figure things out, the more that it has to shift and change things. And I think that's what we're seeing, including with Fatima. Kind of like they alluded to in this episode, that they're trying to break the sheriff.
And not only that, but it's almost like they're trying to break Fatima. You know, in the beginning, you think that it's almost a good thing that's happening to her. Well, it's a 50-50 chance. Last episode, you know, it's not a good thing. It's something evil probably growing inside of her. Elgin's like a henchman. He's like the... You remember that guy in Vampire in Brooklyn? There's a new vampire in Brooklyn. And his name is Damian Jones. He played a...
I've seen that movie in years.
He played Dwayne Wayne in a different world. But anyway, he's like a henchman now. He's not Elgin anymore. He's completely brainwashed into this zombie type guy, right? Like, he, do it for the baby. The baby's going to be so much better after this. He said, and she's fucking 9 months pregnant in like 6 hours. How is that possible?
Nothing is as it typically is inside the enigma, the mystery of the village, the town. Everything's kind of weird. So I'm not surprised that she's like going through 9 months of pregnancy within the span of a couple of weeks, because she's not actually pregnant, right? They did the ultrasound and there was nothing inside of there. So whatever physiological changes that are happening to her body, it's all part of whatever else is going on. And I think the real mystery, the real question that we should be asking ourselves is Elgin on the right track in helping out the ghost lady in the kimono? Is that really going to save everybody? Or is this, you know, whatever powers that be, taking advantage of their weakness right now, their vulnerability, and taking that last spark of the group, Fatima, right, who inspired people, made people feel comfortable. If they destroy her and destroy that relationship and this baby that they think she's carrying, all hope will be lost.
So initially, I thought that the sucked up beef jerky looking lady in the kimono was a good omen, in that she might have been kind of like the little boy in white, if you will, right? Like, she's coming, showing up, which brings me to my next point, too, after I get to that. But she's not. Like, she's taking Polaroid pictures of things, given... Like, why do you have to draw blood? And why does it have to be the African-American character that has to do all the terrible things? Why couldn't it be Sarah again? Like, Sarah's... No one likes Sarah. Who gives a fuck about Sarah?
Because Sarah's pushing back against the others, right? They're feeding her instructions and things to do, but she's pushing back. And Elgin, prior to even arriving, you know, at the town, already had premonitions of what was going on. So he seems to be susceptible to that kind of influence.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Almost like a psychic ability, like, what's her name? Not Julie, but the mom, Tabitha.
Which is an odd name for a Hispanic woman.
Yeah. And you know what? In the first few seasons, I thought it was a little strange that the daughter is clearly fully Caucasian and the mom is fully Hispanic. But as the seasons go on, they kind of look alike. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the hairstyle that they're choosing. But the little boy in white, man, we see him. He's maybe 4 or 5 years old wearing, you know, tiny short shorts and a tucked in polo. Now he has an attitude. He seems to be about, what, 13, 14, maybe. And he's a little snarky. He has a little bit of an attitude.
And he's coming into his own.
Coming into his own. And I'm kind of wondering why he's not helping. If he helped, what was that one guy's name? Dale? Was it Dale? No, Dale was the guy who got trapped in the pool.
The asshole.
That guy, yeah. I can't remember the guy who had Slappy, we'll call him, the little ventriloquist dummy.
I can't remember the
Dennis.
The,
it was Dennis.
Yeah, it was Dennis.
But I don't know, man. Victor trying to cut down that tree, and then he pops up saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Can you tell him why you can't do that? Because at this point, I mean, I probably would just cut the fucking tree down, if I'm being honest. It didn't do any good the last time.
Well, I think they need the tree if they're going to solve whatever. Well, here's the thing. Who's to say the boy in white is even helping?
I think the boy in white might be Thomas. That was my initial theory. But then it seems like this place is just fucking with their mind, right? So that can't be it.
If the boy in white was Thomas, then Tabitha would have recognized him when he pushed her out the window.
But did she see him when he pushed her out the window? Or was she blindsided?
Didn't he say something like, I'm sorry, like I have to do this, or I'm sorry for this, or something like that, before he pushed her?
Yeah, he said, I'm sorry, this is the only way. And then he pushed her out the lighthouse window, and she ended up in the hospital.
I do get a lot of Lost vibes, and I remember back when we were in high school, I don't know if you were in the same boat, but me and Chris went through a phase. I don't remember who he borrowed it from. It might have been you, of all people.
I watched the entire series, yeah. When I went to Hawaii senior year, I remember I got a Lost t-shirt, because I went to the part of the set of Lost when I was out there.
But somebody bought like the entire series on DVD and like we blazed through it.
That doesn't sound like me. Maybe Fernando.
Probably. Or even Drew, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know where Frum's going at the end of the season, but we got one more episode, presumably. I don't know if there's going to be a season 4. It seems like there will be because there was not a lot of things answered in this season. I feel like there's more questions this season than the previous ones. I do feel like the pacing has slowed down a lot. Like there's been a lot of kind of meaningless dialogue in the last couple episodes. It's been a little bit disappointing. They haven't done a lot of like special effects as far as like with the monsters and the killing and everything like that. So I'm wondering if they just saved their budget for the finale and shit's about to get wild or what.
I just hope the finale is good. But since we're talking about Lost and, you know, obviously Boyd was in Lost. He played Michael and was great in that. His Parkinson's is obviously coming back. So does he know something that we don't with this? Is he having like visions that we haven't, you know, been able to see on camera yet? Does he know his end is coming? That's why he's talking to, Kenny, his ex-deputy, now deputy again, after accepting the badge?
Well, I think it's obvious that he thinks the end is near, right? Or that he won't be able to help for too much longer. I think that's key to that conversation that he had with him. Also key with him disclosing his condition to his son, right? And kind of keeping his son from going after Fatima after she wasn't in the shack at the edge of town.
Yeah, I just can't believe Elgin dragged her into his shack and closed the door. And talk about the end of the episode just real quick. They were right there. Tabitha was right there. And it's almost Victor was a distraction. Like placed there as a distraction almost? Or did he find that at the same exact time? I don't know.
I don't think anyone else knows about the hidden compartment, but the door was open. So you think they would see that the dresser, the armoire, was pushed out of the way because Elgin's actually in there. He can't push it back in front of the door while inside of the room. My biggest curiosity is what the hell is beneath that room when Fatima was clearing the dust and was trying to pull open that cellar door.
Like, oh yeah. That's giving me a Sam Raimi Evil Dead vibes from 1979 onto the remake and whatever else when she's down there singing what was she singing? Baby Beluga, baby, whatever the fuck, she was something similar to that. Terrifying. Hate that. So The next topic would be Agatha. That booty big, I'ma slap it. Agatha. That booty big, I'ma slap it.
So a little bit delayed on this because the season finale aired 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks, no, Halloween. Halloween week, episode 6. Was it 6 episodes? No, it was 7 episodes.
Six or seven.
But there was a bonus episode. The bonus episode kind of tied everything and led up to the to whatever's going to come next.
And it's and it may be delayed, but it's well worth the talk. It was a great series. It might have been better than WandaVision. Actually, it was better than WandaVision, and that's hard to say.
I do think it was better than WandaVision. I think the writing was better. I loved WandaVision. I'm not shitting on it. And out of all the MCU television shows on Disney Plus, Loki, WandaVision, I think they stand out heads above the rest of them. And Agatha, while I didn't have a lot of high hopes for it in the beginning, just because I'm like, how do you spin this off into its own series? I thought they did a great job. It was super touching. It was well written. It wasn't preachy. And it actually served a purpose. It continued the story. How do we introduce these other Marvel characters from the comic books to continue on the universe now that we've seen the end of the main Avengers cast, right? And on top of that, I don't know how much you've dug into this, but with Billy is a mutant. Like, Wanda and her brother were mutants. This is the start to the X-Men. This is how X-Men. They tie everything together.
Yeah, Wanda is Magneto's daughter, is she not? From X-Men?
I don't think so.
I think
let's ask Google. Jamie. Hey, Jamie, can you check on that for us so we make sure we're not wrong?
While Jamie's checking that, I have a serious question. A very, who the fuck got Agatha pregnant? Who is the baby daddy? Is it Death?
No. There was a key thing that was said during the show where Agatha said it was something she did without magic. She did it of her own, right? So I think whoever the father is it's probably human. But no, Agatha Harkness is not Magneto's daughter. In Marvel Comics, Agatha Harkness is a powerful witch with ties to the supernatural and mysticism.
Well, not Agatha, Wanda.
Was it in WandaVision, they kind of dived into it a little bit. They showed some flashbacks to her childhood, like the scenes in the broken down, like Slavic apartment building, like Soviet Union's apartment building, the rubble when she was using her telepathic powers to like turn on TV or whatever. You remember that?
I do remember that. I'm going to Google right now if Magneto is Wanda's father. I had heard a theory about the Scarlet Witch's parentage has always been a subject of passionate debate in the Marvel comics. But the recently released trial of Magneto number 5 firmly established Magneto as Wanda Maximoff's father, regardless of their blood connection. I knew there was something to that, so that even ties it in even further if they're going to make Magneto her dad.
Yeah, I don't think that's the story, to be completely honest with you.
That'd be cool, though. I mean, you could definitely do something with it.
I'm very interested to see where everything's going to go, because I think Wanda will make a return. What that looks like, she'll be interesting. And then Billy finding Tommy, which I imagine will be the subject matter of the next series, whether it's called Billy All Along or Agatha All Along season 2 or whatever they name it. But
so, at the end of the last episode, they kind of implied that he might just live within me. So I wonder if he's just going to harness both powers and he'll just have like a weird double twin Gemini kind of personality. Like, one day he's Billy, one day he's not.
Well, that's not what they implied at all. They implied that, like, when Tommy died, like, his vessel, his soul, whatever you want to call it, was just kind of out in existence and nowhere. And Billy's ability to recall memories of his brother was able to find him in that darkness and use his powers to put him in a body that was about to die.
And so now the search is on to find his twin brother.
Yeah, who's in the body of the boy who drowned.
I think another theory that I have is if Billy Maximoff is so much like his mother, Wanda, and he was able to create the Witch's Road into a reality from a fictional, pretty much child song, be it Agatha's son kind of originated the song and then she helped build onto it and add layers. Do you think someone as powerful as Billy Maximoff or Agatha or maybe Wanda in the future will be able to, you know, what will be the word? Summon the Witch's Road again? Or is it just done for?
No, because the Witch's Road was always just a figment of Billy's imagination, a way for him to cope with his reality. And something, it was just an old witch's tale, as they explain in the series, particularly in the last episode, that started from a little childhood song between Agatha and her son Nicholas that kind of converted into this scam into drawing other witches in so Agatha can kill them and steal their power. The road was never real.
Bitch.
But the myth of the road is what inspired Billy to seek out Agatha, right? As he's kind of dealing with his own reality of who am I? I'm Billy, but I'm in this body. Like, you know, all that confusion that was going on. So the Riches Road still isn't a real place. It never was a real place, and it never had any ability to do anything that wasn't able to be done outside of it, right? So even when it comes to those witches getting their power back, I can't remember the African-American girl's name, but the one who had all the like environmental powers, it was really about her realizing that the bind that Agatha had over her was only as strong as she believed it to be. You know what I mean?
I believe her name was Jennifer.
Yennefer?
Yennefer? Jennifer? So you know we got to talk about it.
Talk Tyson, about it.
Tyson versus Paul. Please go ahead. Go ahead. You go first. What did you think of this bullshit ass?
If that wasn't clear, I wasn't clapping. That was the sound of cheeks, because that's the biggest story out of the entire fight is Mike Tyson revealing his bare ass cheeks for the camera after kissing his son who interviewed him before the fight. Other than that, let's get to the real shit, and then we'll get to the bullshit of the fight, because there I don't want to undercut what those other real fighters did. In those matches,
Amanda Serrano went off.
That was a great matchup. There were some good fights prior to that bullshit that they call the main event that deserved their credit. Those were not staged. Those were real. I don't want to take away from any of that.
But they're real, and I do want to say something, and you're going to disagree with it, I know, and that's fine. Katie Taylor did not fight dirty that night. She fought her style of fighting, and that's what happens when – I mean, she might – go forward with her head, but there's a difference between a headbutt and leading with your head. You got to get out the way. If you want to keep going forward while you know she's leading with her head, then you're going to get hit. And a lot of those headbutts were incidental. She wasn't seeking those contacts, but that cut on Amanda Serrano, oh my.
I knew your bitch ass would come on here and simp for a Scottish boxer. I knew you would. I knew you would come up here. Oh, she's Irish. Same thing.
It is not the same thing, number one.
It is. To us Americans, it's the same.
First off,
neither had their freedom.
First off, I don't think that's dirt. That's old school boxing, man. That's old school boxing, and you have
it was
to be
intentional.
Able to...
It was clearly intentional. She was leading with her head on purpose. Even the same way the ref kept telling her to stop clinching, because she would try to clinch to make sure she brought her in, and then she would push her head forward into the same eyebrow that the cut was on. It wasn't just different parts of the head. Like,
I agree with you. Like, she was rubbing her hair and her braids into the cut every time she clinched. I've been watching boxing maybe 20 years, on God, and I have not seen a boxer, a veteran boxer, a boxer with experience, not do something similar to that with the glove or with his own. If they're bald, they do it with the top of their head. I've seen Tyson Fury do this. I've seen Mike Tyson do this. I've seen Evander Holyfield do this. I've seen Lennox Lewis. I've seen Floyd Mayweather do it with his glove. That's the point. It's almost like basketball, right? You can shoot the ball. The dribbling moves aren't necessarily the fundamentals, but it's part of the game now, right? Like, if you're
just
going up for a
rebound.
Because
someone does something doesn't mean it's not dirty. I've watched legends in the NFL make dirty hits all the time.
It's an advantage.
Dirty is dirty is dirty is dirty. Whether tactical. Or not it happens all the time doesn't mean anything.
Tactical. Would you say it's tactical?
No, I think it's unethical, and I think she's a coward and a dirty fighter.
I'm not going to lie to you. If I was a professional fighter and I had somebody cut open as much as Amanda Serrano was cut open, I'm rubbing that cut. I'm putting blood in their eyes. They're not going to be able to see, and I'm going to pop them with a jab on that side of their face until I win the fight. And
no,
that's what Katie Holmes did. She
honor.
Almost got knocked out, Katie Holmes. Did you see that shit?
No,
Katie Holmes, Katie Taylor.
Honor. No honor.
Plenty of honor.
No honor.
But that,
now to
that,
the bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody around the world, it was like 300 and some odd million people tuned into Netflix, their daddy's Netflix, their cousin's Netflix, their uncle, brother, cousin's Netflix, their baby mama's Netflix
to
watch this fight.
And buffer.
To have that shit freeze and freeze and freeze and freeze. And I kept thinking to myself, Netflix, you are a multi-billion, if not trillion-dollar company. I don't know what the exact valuation is on that company. You knew this was going to be the hottest thing on the internet tonight. Everyone's going to be on the internet. Everyone's going to streaming. Why didn't you just take everything off of Netflix or prevent people from streaming anything other than the fight to save the bandwidth on your servers? That shit was annoying. It would have been better served on a regular-ass pay-per-view.
Yes.
Now, to the actual fight, everyone tuned in because We all have fond memories of Mike Tyson in our childhood, watching him be the meanest motherfucker on the planet.
Motherfuckers out.
Everybody wanted to see this because we wanted to believe that Mike Tyson still had enough to knock out a YouTuber. What we learned is he did, if the fight is only 2 minutes. Because in that first round, Jake was running. He got hit a couple times, and he looked a little bit scared. And then somewhere in round three, he teed up on Mike. Mike got a little hurt, and Mike's legs started to give out, and Mike got gassed, and the game was over. And in my opinion, that's when Jake intentionally started pulling punches because he could have finished him. He had numerous opportunities to finish him. And I think there was some kind of prearrangement before this match that Jake would not embarrass a legend like Mike Tyson. Like, Mike was willing to take this L for that $20 million paycheck at 58 years old, but he didn't want to be embarrassed.
So my take, everybody knows Jake Paul carried the fight, especially after the first round. I think Tyson was hurt with his leg before he even came into the fight. He, after the fight, was on record for saying when he had his health scare, he dropped to, I think, 25 pounds less, almost lost his life. So, yeah, that prearrangement probably happened somewhere around that time. It might have been a real fight before then. I still think he can still come out and hit people the way he used to maybe 10, 15 years ago. But without your knee, the explosiveness is gone. Jake Paul, we saw you carry him. We don't need to hear you say it in the media. You don't need to disrespect Mike Tyson by saying you didn't feel his power at all. It didn't hurt. It just makes you look like a punk kid and not the way you want. I understand you're going for the villain.
I think this is you not being able to be objective.
I just...
Because you are the exact type of person that would not give a fuck what people have to say. If you're the person who won that fight, you're the person that got that big payday, if you're the person who in front of 300 and something odd million people beat a legend, you'd be talking the biggest shit in the world.
But to be fair, and you've known me for years, I would beat a legend in his prime. I wouldn't have to, and that's if I was going to take the fight. I would try and beat a legend in his prime. I wouldn't fight a 58-year-old man. I was raised to find that very distasteful and disrespectful and not entertaining. What the fuck do you have to prove? That man, as the old saying goes, I've forgotten more than you can remember. And I would hate it if my son thought he could check me when I'm 58 years old after he's on juiced up on steroids and whatever the fuck else. So that's where I mean, like, bitch, sit down and be humble. We all saw you carry him. I saw Floyd Mayweather carry your brother, Jake, in that fight where he knocked him out standing up. And then I watched your brother come back to his corner and say, it's just an exhibition, Floyd. Let's calm down. He didn't say anything after the fight about carrying him or how his punches didn't hurt. And that's all I mean. Everyone, just respect the man. Respect can go a long way, even if you're still trying to be a heel. Certain things you still don't have to say. And that's all I mean by it.
I just think that's 100% coming from a place of emotion and not a place of objectivity. Because if it wasn't Mike Tyson and it wasn't Jake Paul, you wouldn't even have comments on the matter.
Oh, no, not at all. Well, if I saw it on the street, I would. Because I still...
But it's not a street fight. This was a fight where two parties voluntarily fixed. Entered into a competition. It was a sanctioned fight, unlike some of the other Jake Paul fights, where two people put a lot on the line. No one knew that Mike was going to perform as poorly as he did.
Because they fucking lied to us in those training videos that they posted where he's all explosive and fucking hitting people in the ribs. What the fuck is that? Where was that at?
I mean, he probably was for like 30 seconds at a time and with like a 5-minute break in between.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just hard to ask for a 58-year-old to do fighting, mixed martial arts, boxing, anything cardio. It's just you're too old for that shit.
I just want to make sure we're clear on this. Like, Mike took this fight. Like, Mike entered into this fight. There's no shame. There's no harm on Jake for taking it. You want to make money? People obviously wanted to see this. They sold out AT&T Stadium where the Dallas Cowboys play. They had over 300-something million people streaming that shit from home on Netflix. It was the talk of the town. Like, both parties, Mike wants the money. Jake wants the notoriety. So, like, I don't feel bad for Mike. He knew what he was getting himself into, and he accepted that because he wanted.
It might be part emotion because I can't help but feel like part of it's a little racial. Like, you got a young white kid beating up an old black man. You know what I'm saying? Like, what is this, the 1940s? It was pretty much the same thing. He picked a guy that was, 4 years in retirement, 42 years old, And then, you know, he was going to have ring rust and whatever else. I think he picked a fight he knew he could win and look good in. Oh, no. Well, Miocic isn't a white guy, though. His skin might look that way, but where he's from is not a white. He's from Ohio, bro. Dude, he came out to, bitch, I'm from that land till I die. Till I die. Shut up. Well, is there anything you want to add to these guys before we, the Bosa brothers, are they from Ohio? The Paul brothers are from Ohio. Send us out of here, DP Grizzly. Are we the asshole? Reddit. But we're going to try and do this every 2 weeks for you guys. And, once or twice every week. Give you guys some good listening, some good vibes. And we'll see you guys then. All right. Stay black.